Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, the Reverend, or I guess Minister, I'm not really sure what it is, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I was actually just ordained today. It's really easy online to perform wedding ceremonies for a friend of mine and his fiance who are getting married in about 100 days, so I figured I should jump on that. So hey, if anyone needs some Pelicans talk at your wedding, just give me a call. I can now perform it for you all. So today on Locked On Pelicans, got an interesting podcast for you. So yesterday I had Scott Kushner on with me to talk about the timeline of what would happen with Gentry and Dempsey should a move get made. And he's largely of the belief that they're going to be safe. I agree with him from everything I've heard and just kind of reading the tea leaves with the team. But I want to talk about a guy whose name always comes up to me. And I think if I were to rank questions that I get asked all the time, it's like, right now, what are they going to do with Holiday? The second is Gentry and or Demps coming back next year? And the third is usually a follow-up to that of, what do I think of Jeff Van Gundy? So I'm going to tell you guys what I think of Jeff Van Gundy and talk about it here on the podcast today. That's going to be the majority of everything. I'll also do a player in review for you guys today. So it should be an interesting one because I have a lot of thoughts on this, and it's an interesting name, and I don't think it's going to be as successful or would be as successful as people think. There's a reason he's not coaching anymore still, and I don't think it's necessarily that he's just happy with the situation he's in. You know, it kind of reminds you of Gruden in the NFL. Everyone always wonders when he's going to come back into the league and be a coach. I'm not sure if, you know, it's because he's happy being a broadcaster or if maybe, you know, the league's kind of just moved on a little bit. But it'll be interesting to talk about just kind of food for thought when it comes to this. And hey, there's also some GM news out there floating around with the Cavaliers. I'll touch on that as a bonus as well in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, by the way, is brought to you by SeatGeek, and they are the best way to get in on the action. Just because basketball season's over doesn't mean there's not a lot going on, and they have everything from football games, baseball, any sport you can imagine, but they also have concerts, and this is a great time in New Orleans for that, as people are always playing shows here over the summer at different venues, especially around Jazz Fest time, and SeatGeek's the best way to do it. It's a ticket aggregator. They're going to pull tickets from all over the place and show you the lowest price. You're not overpaying that way. They're also going to give you a grade on the ticket as well, so you know what's excellent value for it. I used this all the time last year to get Saints tickets for really cheap or very good value if it was a big game. And I urge you guys all to do the same. Go to the Google Play Store or your iTunes store, download the SeatGeek app today, and for Locked On Pelicans listeners, we're actually running a promo here with them where you can get a $20 rebate just for making a purchase you were already going to make. So that's a great thing here. So download the SeatGeek app today, go to the settings tab, hit enter promo code, put in LO Pelicans. LO Pelicans is in Locked On Pelicans. You're going to get $20 back just for making a purchase you were already going to make. Everyone wins. Give it a try. It's the best way to get in on the action. All right, Jeff Van Gundy time. So you know he's been in the league for 11 years, first with New York, actually taking him to an NBA Finals, which they did lose, but that's okay. Well, there's no judgment here on that. At least making an NBA Finals is good. And then Houston, where he coached for 4 years. And he's got an overall head coaching record of 430 wins, 318 losses. And that's good for a 57.5% winning percentage, which is pretty good. Playoffs are a bit more of a mixed bag. He's 500 overall in the playoffs. So not a winning record, not a losing record, exactly 500. But when you, so if you look at those numbers, yeah, it's good, and you're going to want him here, but you can't just pick a head coach based off of his record, as the Pels did, obviously, when they hired Gentry, who had a losing record as head coach. You need to dive in a little bit more to it and what his coaching style is. So Van Gundy's always been known as a defensive guy. And he's always ranked, you know, in the top half, top 10 usually in his years as a head coach. His defenses were always ranked up there. But here's the thing. The Pelicans have a good defense right now, and they're principles that you could carry over to another head coach. And it's not like you need to bring in a defensive guy because you can still run the switching scheme even if Ehrman or Gentry aren't here anymore. So it's not like you need to have a defensive guy, and if they don't bring that in, the defense is going to slip. The defense, in theory, should be very fine going forward from this now that you've got the scheme in place. And I doubt a new head coach would come in, see a top 10 defense, and be like, we're going to do things differently. It's not really how they're going to think. That would be kind of bad. So Van Gundy is great defensively, but the Pelicans already have that. Offensively, though, he hasn't actually been great. He's never ranked in the top half of the league when it comes to offensive efficiency when he's been a head coach. Now, he's ranked right around 15th or so, and that's the best, but there's a lot of times when he's been in the bottom third of it as well. And if you were to hire a new Pelicans head coach, I don't know if that's exactly what you'd want. Again, you have the defense in place. You need someone who's going to be a good offensive coach to get the most out of figuring out this too big system. And while Van Gundy has never been married to one type of offense, offensive style or defensive style, and he largely is a guy who will mold his system to fit the personnel, something I don't know if Alvin Gentry will do, though I don't want to say he won't either. Van Gundy would be good to bring in from that, but again, the track record doesn't exactly speak very highly towards him turning this into a top 10 offense and unlocking the potential of these two big men in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. More than that, though, the current style of offense that a lot of teams are playing, that space and pace, three-point shooting, get out and run style, wasn't exactly around when he was last really being a head coach. And so you've got to wonder if he's familiar with these concepts, A, to design defenses to defend them, or B, to come up with an offense, a modern NBA offense that works, because these older offenses oftentimes aren't successful in the NBA currently. You even have a Jazz team that's built around defense running a bit of an older offense. Not quite, but they're not running the space and pace kind of spread style that you're seeing all around the NBA right now. And, you know, they still took seven games to win a first-round playoff series, which, hey, I think any Pelicans fan would take right now. But it's something to keep in mind that maybe the game potentially has passed him by. The good thing with that is he is a broadcaster, so he is around the league. He is talking to players. He is talking to coaches. So if there's any one person who's maybe suited to coming back out of a long retirement, and again, he hasn't been in the league as a head coach since 06-07. So you're looking at 10 years here now since that's been the case. You know, it might be, though, Van Gundy who could do it more so than someone else who's just been away from the league and the NBA for 10 years. But let's dive a little bit deeper into his coaching career. And the first thing that really jumps out to me is the 01-02 season, where after 19 games as the New York Knicks head coach, he just unexpectedly resigned, especially after they had won, I think it was 5 or 6 games straight, to really kind of get back into the playoff race early in that year. And he just kind of up and quit. And that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. He's talked about how he regrets it. He wasn't happy about doing that and made him feel like a quitter and so on and so on and so on. But at the same point, he still did it. It's not a good thing. He said he was emotionally spent. And you've got to wonder if being here in New Orleans with the expectation that would come of likely being team president, GM, and head coach, and they get off to a rough start, or you're in year two and it's not going so well, would he up and resign again? And it's something to be a little bit worried about. You want a coach that's going to be here long term to provide some stability for DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. And right now, after seeing that and thinking about it some more, you know, there's a question mark. We might have moved on from this. He might be fine, but it's still something you have to factor in and can't be left out. Another thing that's a very big concern, kind of, if you look at his tenure in Houston, the 4 years he was there, he missed the playoffs 1 year in the 05-06 season, but that was largely due to injuries to Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming, so I'm not going to hold that against him. He made the playoffs in every other year there in Houston, but he lost in the first round of each of those series. And if you stretch it back to New York, the season before he resigned, he lost in the first round there. So there's not exactly a tremendous recent track record for him of deep playoff runs. And he only has one NBA Finals and then a Conference Finals to his name. So really two Conference Finals, essentially, is what we're talking about here. So it's not ideal. And there's plenty of coaches that can get you to the first round and lose in the first round. And this is one where you'd be given over talent evaluation to, and these two franchise cornerstones that you really need to make a big playoff run to keep. Again, I don't know if he's able to do that. He had some very talented teams there in Houston in two of the years where they lost in the first rounds. They won at least 50 games. That's very impressive, but lost in game sevens in the first round in both of those. That's not an ideal track record. At this point, I think a lot of Pelicans fans, and I, frankly, would take getting into the playoffs in the first place. That'd be certainly a good thing. Don't get me wrong here. But that's not the expectations I think anyone has for this franchise or wants to set for this franchise. So you need someone who can potentially take you further. And again, is Van Gundy the guy to do that? I don't know. I'm a little uncertain about that when you really look at his tenure in the league. There's no doubt that he's a great quote, speaks his mind, and I think that's something Pelicans fans would really like to see, a very demonstrative maybe coach come in here, and I'd love to be able to cover him. But again, maybe the league's passed him by, maybe not. It's an interesting thing to consider, but I don't think it's as cut and dry as just looking at his head coaching record and the 57.5% of games that he's won in his career and being like, he's a great coach, he's the number one choice. There's a lot of negatives, those first round losses, the resigning mid-year. You know, he was fired by Houston. That doesn't exactly look too well. So it'll be interesting. Again, losing in the first round is really what caused him to lose his job every single time. You're looking at what they're doing here in Los Angeles with the Clippers and everyone's saying blow it up. Well, this guy who kind of led a franchise like that a little bit, now that I say it out loud and really think about it, the parallels kind of are there. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens. But again, I don't think Demps and Gentry are really going anywhere. So while it's fun to talk about him, and he was a candidate 2 years ago, I don't think it's the most realistic thing to expect the team to install him as the head coach. Nor do I think he'd really be the best candidate. I think you can go out and get a young guy who maybe can connect with players a little bit. We've seen players coaches are really what succeed in the NBA right now. You see it a bit in the NFL too, and I'd rather see the Pelicans go out and get one of those young up-and-coming guys who's got a lot of energy, who's willing to fly around with the team and get the most out of this young core of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So I said I'd have a bonus for you guys, and let's talk about the GM side of things. Again, I expect Dell Demps to be back. I'd like to see what he can do around the edges of the team this year. But if he's not, there is one guy who the Pelicans could potentially really go out and get, and that's David Griffin, the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he's not under contract for next season with the Cavs, which I think is a mistake. And you've got to wonder if the reason that's the case is because Dan Gilbert doesn't really think they need a GM as much and value the position as much because, frankly, you have LeBron. You won the finals last year. You're going to be expected to go to the finals this year and probably next year as well. So maybe he doesn't want to spend big money on a GM when he's spending big money on the roster and the salary. And that's a valid thing to think, but I really like this guy. And again, you can say maybe his role isn't that important. He hasn't done a lot, but this is a guy who's made some wonderful moves around the edges. I think his decision to fire David Blatt and put in Tyronn Lue was particularly brilliant because obviously it worked and they won the NBA Finals by doing that. You know, he did acquire Kevin Love, so he's capable of making a big trade. But the biggest thing that stands out to me is the Cleveland Cavaliers have been over the salary cap for a long time now. And he's managed to bring in new talent and the right pieces year after year for a few seasons now while over the cap and while not having a lot of assets to work with. And that kind of reminds you of the Pelicans situation here. You're likely going to be over the cap. You don't have a bevy and a war chest of first-round picks and young talent here. You need to make very specific targeted moves that turn out to be correct. And that's something that David Griffin's done for them. That's why I like him. That's why I think he could do well here. Sounds like maybe he's going to be going to Orlando. I think that would be a great move for them since they do have some young talent there. A little bit of friendly salary cap situation. So it should be a lot of fun to see what he does there. That's a guy I would love to have here in New Orleans, but unfortunately I don't see him coming here whatsoever. All right, let's do a quick season in review here. I want to talk a bit about Tim Frazier. And this is a guy who gave you 7.1 points per game. He averaged 5.2 assists. And he did this in 65 games while starting 35 of them, played an average of 23.5 minutes per game. And I think he's a decent backup point guard for this team. I actually kind of like him because he's assist first and he's willing to go out and facilitate it. And when you play him, particularly with Drew Holiday, we saw that it kind of unlocks the offense because he doesn't really turn the ball over much at all, which I think is a very useful trait to have just to not end possessions, especially for an offensively challenged team like the Pelicans are. You don't really want him being a full-time starter. Yes, he started a number of games for the Pels this year, particularly because of Holiday's absence for the first handful of games. I don't quite remember off the top of my head right here. And they didn't do well. And there's a reason. Offensively, he doesn't give you enough. And that's the big thing. He's not really a deep shooting threat. He only shot 31% from three this year. So teams go underneath screens against him and dare him to shoot. And he's really not going to make them pay by doing that. As an primary ball handler with a second unit surrounded by shooters, I think it works, particularly if you get him with a good big out there. I think he and Cheick Diallo could maybe handle that role next year. But overall, solid backup. You can't really be upset because the expectations aren't too high. If he could develop a three-point shot, he could be incredibly valuable. But who knows if that's going to be the case. But hey, not horribly upset that he's here on the team. He's on a very team-friendly contract right now, and you got to have some guard depth. So Tim Frazier, certainly the guy to do it. Good overall, like I said, just in his spot starts, he kind of helped them stay afloat, though isn't enough of a difference maker really for this team at all. But hey, you got to have these kind of guys that fill out the roster. If he's your 10th man, I think you're going to be really happy. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Hope you enjoyed the discussion about maybe Jeff Van Gundy. I think, the number one candidate in Pelicans fans' mind to replace Alvin Gentry. Why I don't think he's such a good coach, I said, it's because of those first-round playoff exits. I really have a bad taste in my mouth over him quitting the team and everything he said after that. How he's like, I just quit, and he admits to it. It's nice to own up to it, but at the same point, don't really like it. Don't forget the show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app today. Put in the promo code LOPELICANS. Get a $20 rebate for something you were already going to buy. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Should have a guest for you on. If not, we got plenty still to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans. No show Friday. Don't forget that. So again, please like the podcast on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pelicans. Follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels. Give me a follow as well. It's at Nola Jake. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.